Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight.
Good evening. You turned your video off.
Yes, I'm working on that. As we speak, good evening. Let's see if this works. There I am, right? I think I've...
not yet.
Come on. Anyway, enough of this chicanery, this buffoonery, this crazy little thing we call love. Let's see. I had it, and then I missed it. I'll fix
good
that
evening,
up while
everybody.
We're talking. Good evening, everybody. First, let me say this. Well, you said you're doing good, Jim. I know I have no video. We're going to go back to my video in a second when Jim gets a chance to talk. I have to host a show here.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you get your video hung. I'll tell you, while you get your video hung, don't you understand they are clamoring to see the new slimmer you?
Well, it's just my big fat head still, so it's not.
I saw pictures from the birthday party. You look fantastic, my friend.
Jim, I can always count on you for just positive energy. And I love it. I do love you, and I'm not afraid to say that, man to man. So how about you talk, and I get this issue fixed, because people are clamoring.
I'm reaching out to Frosty here, who is telling me that he works for a company that sells the Arnold Palmer half and half iced tea that I'm completely addicted to. So Frosty, you got to send me these little water bottle tubes that I'm now showing on the video. I want cases of them at my door. So, yes. So good evening to everybody. We're glad you're here. Eddie's getting his video hooked up. We'll be ready to go. Eddie, tonight, if you are in the chat room, Eddie is host. I am co-host. What we didn't know was Eddie wanted to be on video tonight. He said, can I be the login as the host? And I said, sure, by all means, run the whole bit. And then we found out that the co-host can show his video as well, which is why I am on video. So as soon as Eddie gets his video up and running, two of the handsomest men on internet radio. Oh, look at here. He's back. I'll tell you what.
Let's go.
The two handsomest men in internet radio, my friends, are right there on your screen. No, you're gone again.
What, if I close that box, I'm out?
You can't. That's your webcam window. You can't close that box. Just put it up in the corner. That's what I do. Just put it up in the corner.
I don't like my ugly.
You look past you.
All right.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the 51 and 52 and the 50th handsomest man on internet radio. Here we are.
That's right. All right.
So we got a win last night, Eddie, finally.
I got to tell you. I really thought it was good. We were going to do a post-mortem about how the Rangers lost 5-0 last night rather than watching them get on the board. We've got four games. We've gotten points in 3 out of 4. Things are looking rosy now. What a game last night. Rangers were horribly outplayed. They played a horribly undisciplined game. There wasn't anything positive going on until Ryan McDonagh and Brian Boyle and Gabby all made some plays, got some goals, and it turned out to be a really exciting night for Ranger fans, and the people who stood up late got rewarded. But this team's really got a lot of work, but I'll take the win. King
yep.
Henrik played some.
I forgot what I was going to say. Lost my train of thought.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that was probably the best game I've seen Henrik play in the regular season. One of the best, if not the best. He was making saves on shots that really just uncanny, like bang, bang, bang plays. And, you know, that first line of Vancouver is like no joke at all. I mean,
no. You know,
the Sedin sisters. And, you know, it was just a very intense game. And it seems like this is going to be similar to last year, where we're going to have no matter how bad the Rangers are being outplayed, and hopefully this is true if they are being outplayed, that it's going to be a one-goal game. It's going to be tight, which is excruciating for Ranger fans to go through this every night. But we did it last year with the one-goal games. And now this certainly wasn't a one-goal game, but it pretty much was going to the third period. It was scoreless. We're cruising, you know, about the 14 shot altitude at that point. So there's a lot of things to be addressed.
Well, you talked about McDonagh. Ryan McDonagh began his historic march to 100 points last night. His 100 point season is in full swing now. And somewhere Bob Gainey is slitting his wrists. I mean, you know, forget the goal and the assist that he had. And the goal was beautiful. I mean, absolutely beautiful. And he made Micheletti, of all things, he made Micheletti look like a genius because he scored that goal not long after that. Dunce was talking about how McDonagh's been working on shooting with his head up, and sure enough, he scores a goal just like that. But his defense itself, he's playing against that top line, like you said, thank you. God bless Bob Gainey for being a bigger moron than Glenn Sather. Thank God.
The only thing I could say in defense of the Canadiens in that deal, let's face it, there's really not much to say. We unloaded Gomez, got the money to get Gabrick, and we got McDonagh and Valentenko out of it. So I really thought, you know, that was great. Like I said at the time, he must have been smoking some good peyote when he made that deal, Gainey. The only thing I could say is that the Canadian organization was so wrapped up in P.K. Subban and that hit his, you know, splash on the scene and how, you know, greatly touted he was, that they kind of put McDonagh on the back burner and we took advantage of it. And I give Slatt some credit for a change. Whatever he did, hocus pocus, my focus, whatever he did, it worked.
A la peanut butter sandwiches.
Whatever it took, and he got the job done, and he bamboozled them. And McDonagh is showing that with these minutes that he can play the game. And he really had one of the better games. Think about this, guys. For a defenseman, I mean, last year, I think Stoll had a nice game against Pittsburgh where I think he scored in overtime. We won. But really, offensively and defensively, one of the better games for a Ranger defenseman.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Rangers don't get much help from the blue line when it comes to scoring. And that was a beautiful goal. It really was. So.
Yeah, it was. It was, well, you know, like you said, when was the last time, I mean, how far back do you have to go to find a game that was almost, I don't want to say dominated, but pretty close to it by a Ranger defenseman, you know? He was both ends of the ice. He was very good. And the opposite of the, and if you want the opposite of Ryan McDonough, you needn't look any further than, what is it? I don't even know. What the hell is his first? Is it Jeff Wojtyka? Is that his first name?
Yes, Jeff Wojtyka.
Jeff Wojtyka.
Well, I'll tell you what. Him and Auntie M. Well, he is terrible, but him and Auntie M were able to do the job last night. They tried to play a little bit physical. They're certainly not, you know, they're certainly in the seventh and eighth range defenseman slot. But they played at least decently, I thought, a lot better than they played against the Islander game, which we could talk about in a little while. And the other pairing of Delzato and Erickson, Delzato continues to he'll make a good play, and then he makes two bad plays. And for a defenseman, you just can't do that.
They're talking about it in the chat room here about the move that Edler put on him. To borrow a line from Bayside, he made Delzato look like a traffic cone. That's how bad he went around him.
Yeah,
that was ugly. But if you buy into the Theo Fleury plus-minus theory, Delzato is +4. Leading all defensemen,
wow.
I think.
We'll have to give him the Emory Edge Award. I think that's what they used to give for best plus minus. his jock strap is still rattling around on the ice over there in Vancouver after that move. I mean, that was...
And when you get back to this boy, Wojtyka. He's on the ice with Emminger on a 4-on-4, and I tweeted, why not just put four forwards on the ice with these two on a 4-on-4? Oh, my God. I'm like, is this the best week? Are we sure Matt Gilroy wasn't better than either of these guys? Oh, geez.
I've raised that question.
I know you have. That's right. And it'll be forever in my mind as long as these two. And they give this guy Wojtyka, they give him number 6. Hasn't that number done enough damage to Ranger defensemen? Can we retire that number? Can we not even retire? Bury it. You know, like they buried, like there was that, somebody buried the Mo Vaughn jersey or the Red Sox jersey, whatever it was, at the new Yankee Stadium. They actually dug it out. Do that with the number 6. Bury it. Bury it at National Coliseum. No, hit the pile of rubble. Nobody will notice it. I mean, that number has done done its share of damage. Glenn Sather wore that number, for God's sakes.
Exactly. Now, that number has been the only decent number 6 that would come to mind was Doug Lidster.
Yes.
And he was the only decent 6. It was Joe Sorella, Bruce Bell. I think Horshova was a 6. I'm sure everybody in the chat room is going to go off on number 6s.
Harry
how
Gillis
bad.
And our name. Jim Weimer. There's another legend.
Oscar Meyer Weimer. Mozzarella.
And of course, we haven't even mentioned the great Wade Redden yet. Kasparaitis, forgot him. Patty Duke, she wore number 6.
Oh, Lord. Well, just backtracking a bit, going back to that McDonough and the great game he had and the coming out party, so to speak, I was all over this. And I don't know, sometimes I can get a little bit picky-une, to use a big college word, about the announcing. But jumping Joe Micheletti, jolting Joe Micheletti over there, was exclaiming that, you know, you mentioned about how you've been working on the shot. But he had to just add this little tidbit in that he had lost 4 pounds, about 4 pounds, and that somehow has contributed to his offensive game. Now, listen to the clip, and am I just being nitpicky and thinking that this guy's just we know he's a buffoon, but was this a legitimate buffoon moment when he goes, and McDonough's lost about 4 pounds, and apparently that 4 pounds turned him into Superman? Here's the clip.
Well, even though McDonough plays a lot of minutes and playing against the other team's top players, what he has shown this year is an energetic level to just get involved in the offense, get down, and there's a chance to go. He does. As I mentioned, he worked on his shot this summer. He dropped about 4 pounds from last year. Feels he's stronger, though, on his skate, and really worked on his stamina.
Jim, I'll let you react.
Let me start by I don't know Ryan McDonough's exact measurements. I don't. I'm sorry. Somebody will tell me, I'm sure. I would guess that he is probably 6'2", and I would put him at around 215. Okay? I've never been 6'2", but I've been 215 pounds. I've been 235, 45, 55, 4 pounds. When you are over two spins, 4 pounds does not make a difference. He's not a chick. He's not trying to fit into his little black dress. He's a professional hockey defenseman. 4 pounds. The average athlete sweats off 4 pounds in a game. I mean, he's not trying to fit. Oh, I'm bloated. I got to shake off these 4 pounds from my men piece last week. Come on.
He's heroin chic. He's heroin chic.
I mean, 4 pounds. He probably... Costa takes a shit that weighs 4 pounds. What good does that do? I mean, come on.
About 4 pounds.
Yeah, it's not even 4 pounds. It might be 3.75 pounds. Now, if it's 4.25 pounds, well, then I can understand.
That makes a difference.
But see, those 4 pounds transformed him.
Yes, it's a Superman. I love it. I love it. You lose 4. But why? He was actually on a pretty good analysis until he hit that, and then I was just like,
just when he had you.
It was just, he had me, and then I was like, if it was 4 pounds. So I got to tell you, I think all of us, if we lose 4 pounds, we could become better offensive hockey players. Out of all the things in the offseason that he did, I would think this would be a detriment to the guy. You work there, say you think your weight's an issue. He had all offseason, he only lost about 4 pounds. It was all about the weight last, Jim. It was all about the weight. Tortorella's called Lobster Newberry fat. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Maybe it's more like Ho-Ho Newberry or something. Yodel Newberry.
Well, then Tortorella says, well, now he's skinny. If I was Newberry, I said, listen, you're still short, Napoleon. You know, what's with the fat joke? I mean, I'd appreciate that as a large human being.
That's the thing I was thinking. If he thought Newberry was fat, what the hell would he think if he got a look at me? Whoa. You fat.
Well, other than that and all that nonsense, I like Frosty said in the chat room. My scale doesn't even register 4 pounds. You know, I think it's a fat.
They are even though Sam drifts in and out of the booth, and I don't just mean during the games, you know, he's got the football job that he does on Sundays, so he's not around for the Friday and Saturday games. So even though he hasn't gotten in much work, those two are in mid-season form. I mean, it's like game 7 of the of the finals for those two, the way they're working together with that kid. What a Sammy Salo was on the every time he's on the ice last night.
Bobby Orr.
Can you get the bell toll ready clip for me? Can you pull that up?
Okay, let me see. You know, I'm not great when I'm in control here. Let me see. Baba Booey. See, now you can hear all my ridiculous noises that I make. Okay, I got it.
Sammy Salo, every time he's on the ice. Oh, Joe, Sammy Salo, watch out. They better watch out for that. Get out of the way of it. Don't even try and stop it. No, let's just take the goalie out every time Salo's on the ice. What else is he there for?
Joe. For his shot. I have Frady. I'm thinking some of the great slap shots, Bobby Hull, and then Sammy Salo. That's the way I think it goes.
Who was it McGinnis? It was Al McGinnis, right? That usually clocked those well over.
Yeah.
Phil Housley, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah. Sammy Salo. I mean, you think and yet somehow Henrik Lundqvist still managed to shut them out. Even with the Sid Finch right. of shooters on the point.
Sammy Salo. You know, Jim, I think we're going to have to do a separate show just on the broadcast because we don't really even talk about the game. We can open up with like a half hour just on the broadcast.
All right.
But we probably come to the don't we deserve better category.
We'll get back to the broadcast in the second half of the show.
Yes, because I know the phone lines, you have prepared the phone lines like none other. I'm sure a lot of people want to talk about
it. Screened for you. I mean, look at that. I set it up beautifully.
You're awesome, man.
There's one phone number on there, and I can't remember who that is, and I'm going to feel terrible when you put them on the air.
Maybe I'll go with that as my first call.
There you go.
Area code 201-788. You're on the line with Jim and Eddie on the Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Hello. And the clock is six. Oh, boy. Hello. I guess if they don't hear their name, they think they're not on the air. Okay, so we'll let that one go by. Let's try it again. Let's go to a man that I hung out with on Saturday night at across from Madison Square Garden. At Cafe 31 to celebrate one Eva Simos' birthday, Mr. Zach Budnick. Zach, welcome to the show.
Caller number two, introduce yourself to the public.
Evening, gentlemen.
Oh, so you were there. What's the track?
Budnick sucks.
Hey.
I heard what you did, you son of a bitch. You jinxed the team.
What are you yelling at me for? You're wearing a 5-inch sucks button.
Excuse me?
Well,
I heard you jinxed the team.
He was wearing a 5-inch sucks button, and there is proof. Look at the pictures. Ask the people at the party. He was wearing it.
I wasn't at the party. Who does he think he's talking to?
I don't know. He thinks because I'm... You're
drunk.
Talking to Jim. Yeah.
Oh.
All right, Zach. Let me tell you what I reported to Jim. No less that game was tied at 2-2, and you started a Potvin sucks chant, and immediately the Islanders scored. I have said for years that Potvin sucks changes to the corner at Madison Square Garden, and yet you continue to defy me. Why must you defy me, Zach Kudnick?
Oh, I love watching you on video, my friend. This is great. He's got the hand motions. He's all out. He's nuts.
I got to see this. Oh, there he is. Hey, you're wearing the 5-inch sucks button, all right? You're just as guilty.
I didn't even know what it said. I just, give me a button. I'll wear it.
Oh, you lie. Felix. You lie.
That was a Felix Potvin sucks button. Was a Jan Klopp fan.
Jim, I got to tell you about these guys, these blue shirt underground people. They come out to this game. We got Costa was there. The Simoses were there. Zach was there. A plethora of others.
The Newmans.
What? Newman, John Newman, the great John Newman. Well, the not so great John Newman, depending on how you look at it. Now, I have to say, after the Islanders scored and took the lead, these guys bailed on the Rangers like you wouldn't believe. I have told you many times, in my army, I need foot soldiers. I need people in there with my trenches. You go down by a goal to the Islanders, you better be running for the hills saying this game is over. You got to stick in there. When I say charge, you charge. There's no retreat when we watch a game. Even Costa disgusted me with a false retreat. Then he came back in line. But we had a lot of fun. So I was
the only reason why Costa stayed in is because he got his milk.
Well, the man needs milk with his cake. So,
Cry havoc! And let's put the dogs of war.
So, Zach, I would like to ask you. Yeah, he had like a gallon of Dairy Lee after he ate the birthday cake. All right, so listen. Zach, why did you call this wondrous program tonight?
Just wanted to say a quick hello. I knew you guys were going to be bashing me for that whistle on Saturday night.
Well, Jim has now changed it to Budnick sucks.
Budnick sucks.
I heard. I'm not too pleased about that.
Now, have you escaped capture? That's what I want to know.
Yes, I am alive and well.
From Fredonia.
I was sent to my new webcam. Whoever thought that people thought I was captured.
I figure maybe half our chat room will get that joke.
I'm only friends with like half.
Yeah, you
got to
check out Zach's new Facebook photo. He looks like he's one of the hostages that from Iran in 1979.
Yeah. Oh, so you guys know, obviously, you know, I work at the NHL store and I see John Gino and Bill Pito and any other people that decide to grace the store with NHL Live. Well, on Friday, I was talking with John Gino, and he was talking to me about Volsky. He speculates that the Rangers are going to try to trade him or dump him as soon as possible because he's just a waste of space. And I read an article a few days ago, I don't remember where, they were saying that the Rangers missed their opportunity to get rid of him and because he got the groin injury and he's just, you know, he's basically useless anyways.
Right. Oh, he skated hard yesterday, Sam.
Yep.
Yeah, well,
he skated hard. First time for everything.
They just want to show the rest of the league that, hey, he could skate. He's no longer injured. Now take him off of our hands.
Well, I'm glad. He's been given all the opportunity to prove himself, all 3 minutes of ice time. And I think 30 seconds on the first line. Meanwhile, Chris Newberry saw first line ice time last night. And he came stripped from the
age. Had to go back to the locker room.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what, Zach? That's a good point. But really, Chris Newberry, seriously.
Forward better equipped to go to the first line. Ryan Callahan has to get moved to the fourth line. Our captain on the fourth line. What is this, 2010?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what Tortorella's got up his sleeve. There was a point where he had three gentlemen on the ice. He had, what do you have, Anisimov, Newberry, and Boyle or somebody else, I don't remember. Oh, Christensen. Yeah, those three on the ice to take a defensive zone face-off.
Right. It was pretty ludicrous. What else did I want to say? I wanted to ask you. Okay, and I think Jim had some news. Avery and Tortorella have been going at it, haven't they, Jim?
Well, there was an exchange of comments. Sean Avery skated Wednesday earlier today in Hartford, and Avery was asked whether he expects the Rangers to recall him, and he basically said no. And then he was asked if the Rangers gave him a fair chance to make the NHL roster. And his response was, I'd say it's pretty obvious. I'll let everyone decide for themselves. So what he's saying there is that, no, he didn't have a fair chance to make the NHL roster. To which I would reply, 2.5 years wasn't enough time?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that is, it's true.
I mean, did,
but then
when is he trying to say that he had something different to show in 3 weeks of training camp that he hadn't shown in 2.5 years? Enough with Sean Avery.
Yeah, exactly. And
I just want to say, if I
was counsel for John Tortorella, for Sean Avery, I'd say John Tortorella came out here and said that there's better players on this team than Sean Avery, which we played that clip. That's why he was set down. But one of those players was Matt Zuccarello, and he got set down. And Eric Christensen, we can make an argument that there's two or three guys that really shouldn't be on this team. But
hey, did we keep Christensen
Zuccarello
for the shootout? And look what he did against Anaheim.
What
was that, Zach?
We kept Christensen because he's good on the shootout, and he had his first attempt against Anaheim and missed.
Well,
he's
a little rust.
I don't think he even registered a shot in that.
I think Eric Christensen is a fantastic hockey player. Fantastic.
For the NHL or the AHL?
Matches on the roster. I really just don't understand. He's got no jam. He's got no juice. I don't know what he doesn't have anything. That Tortorella looked for. So
now,
did you watch the game, Zach? Before I have to move on here, because
I did watch the game last night. Watching those first two periods were agonizing. With all those penalties, I honestly thought that Vancouver was going to like blow wide open, and Lundqvist was on top of his game. The sad part about it is, we might have to see this for the entire season. Lundqvist is always playing as if he has to stop every single shot because the rest of his team is going to keep throwing him under the bus like that. And then he's going to burn out, and come time for the playoffs, if we make it in the eighth and final spot, he's not going to be able to stand in the net for us.
Well, I'm glad you're very positive about that. Again, this is the same kind of attitude I saw after Yalas went ahead.
Blow him up.
With the arm waving.
I will not stand for this negativity after four games. I will not have it.
You bomb him because I have a point to make. And the point is this. We should be rejoicing on how great that guy played last night. That was a stellar effort by Henrik. That was one of the best games I've seen him play. That's what he gets paid the big bucks for, to bail us out when we're atrocious. And let's face it, he's done that a lot of times. And where are the big Ricky Atazus now to tell you I told you so? My friend, Ricky. Oh, he's here to tell us he was right about this and he was right about that. But when he's wrong,
You know what he would say? Henrik only shut him out because the Canucks didn't go glove side high mouth.
Or it wasn't a big game. See, I mean, I sincerely think Ricky Otazu is one of the most diehard, passionate Ranger fans. But when it comes to the evaluation of one Henrik Lundqvist, he is a pure, unadulterated nutball. Other than that, it's all fine.
It was still a good game for Lundqvist.
There's
no denying that.
Everybody's got a mental
case.
So. All right,
I'll let you guys move on
to
another caller. I'll talk to you later.
He didn't want to get blown up. All right, Zach, take care.
He wasn't getting all crazy.
Let's go to somebody else who was also in attendance at that Cafe 31, Mr. John Newman, who has a very nice name on this switchboard. John, how are you?
I'm good, Ed. How are you? Hey, Jim.
Hi, John.
How are you?
How are you?
How are you?
So, Did you watch the, well, what did you think about the Islander game, or watching it with everybody down there in Manhattan, New York City?
The Islander game was eventful, as you see, as you know.
Right.
It was very eventful. I did not see any of the game last night. I saw highlights today from the last night's game.
From the last night's game?
Who's that in the back? Who is that in the background?
That would be D. Stacey Katz. She wants to say hello to you boys.
No,
she doesn't want to say hi.
Dismissed.
Sorry. I got a hair trigger. tonight as co-host. I mean, come on. I didn't see the game.
Cow.
I watched it on the DVR. Oh, Stacey wants to say hello. This isn't fucking Thanksgiving. This
exactly.
is a time for social calls.
Eddie and Jim's chat line? You want to chat with us? We want to talk hockey. My God. Lord. See how that I faked that animation? Lord, just for the camera. Lord.
Like,
oh, God.
I got no
problem.
Stacey Keebler. If you're going to call in, let's talk hockey tonight. Let's enjoy.
Oh, wait a minute. We have a long time. I haven't heard this man's voice in quite a while. The outspoken, the verbose, the sometimes coarse, Critical, welcome to Blue Shirt Underground. I believe this is your inaugural appearance on Blue Shirt Underground Radio.
My normal appearance?
Well, we've been under different names, so now we're finally in Blue Shirt Underground Radio, and you're here.
Yeah, I've been busy with college and everything, and I'm not always around to listen to the show, but I'll catch the podcast.
And you enjoy what you hear, I assume?
Of course, I keep coming back. It's like crack, man.
All right. I like that. We're like crack. speaking of crack, are you high off that New York Ranger win last night?
Yeah, it was great. I kind of fell asleep during the second intermission. I wish I didn't.
How could you tell? I'm just kidding. I love you. We love everybody in this life, even Pat Newman.
No. Well, I mean, that intermission report there, the Mercedes intermission report with the Skeletor Ron Duguay and his hair and the Bill Beto, I mean, that would put anybody to sleep.
That's actually, I'm pretty sure that was when I actually fell asleep. So, yeah.
So,
Lundqvist was phenomenal. Like, I don't know any other goalie in the league that could have made the stops that he made back-to-back-to-back the whole night. That's the reason we pay him. What was he making, like 6.875?
Just about that, about 4 pounds and about 6.875. Yes.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
McDonald looked great too out there. Like he looks at home on the first pairing.
He really does. He really has blossomed, and it's scary because I really now you can actually maybe split up Girardi and Stahl, or even though Girardi's playing he's playing really good. I think a lot of people are starting to realize that. He's kind of coming into his own because what we said, Stahl is the reason Girardi may be so good.
Yeah, we always said that. Yeah,
right.
Now Girardi's playing, 30 minutes a night? He's not going to be able to keep that up. As much as, you know, we enjoy seeing him being a friggin' rock on defense, he can't play 30 minutes a night and not burn out by, I don't know, game 40, game 30. He won't last. So pray
right.
Stahl comes back soon.
Yeah, we were supposed to get a word about that today, they said. And Jimmy, nothing came down on that?
Tortorella's exact quote on Mark Stahl, because he did have one. Where was it? Oh, shoot. I mean, I'm still in the Sean Avery, his response to the Sean Avery comments. Oh, hold on. Here we go. His quote was priceless. No, status quo. He's with his doctors and there's no news. Thank you.
What? That's disappointing.
So this was the big announcement?
Yes. The big announcement is? Yeah.
The like, news is
Geraldo
there's no
and
news.
Al Capone's fault.
I like what Chris said. He said the news is there's no news.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, Ranger fans, Thanksgiving is only 4 weeks, just over 4 weeks away. That's the over-under. And I'm still standing by my prediction of New Year's Day. You won't see Mark Stahl in the lineup any sooner than that.
Yeah. Now, Chris, did you see any of the Islander game?
Yeah, I saw the Islander game.
And
don't get me started.
What did you think of that? Well, that's what
pitiful.
I'm here for. Get
pitiful.
Started.
It was just pitiful. Everyone was slow. Would it take 9 penalties that game?
What was the difference between that game and the Vancouver game? The only difference is they won.
Well,
I mean,
they actually got results in the third period. I mean, it took Hank to stand on his head the whole game. Like, it's where he was breakdancing out there. They could fucking say it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I really thought that Henrik, and I told Jim this too, also before the actually, I was talking to my friend High C, that I really thought Henrik's performance really broke down Vancouver in that third period. They were a deflated team. They
stopped
skating.
He downright demoralized them.
Yeah.
Because nothing.
I mean, he really did.
By him. What was it? I'd say at least twice during that game, he made 4 consecutive saves in a matter of seconds, like rebound after rebound. Yeah, that would deflate any team.
Yeah, I thought they stopped skating after that. I really thought. And good for the Rangers. The Rangers got, you know, they took advantage of it. But that's one thing I'll say positive, you know, about Tortorella. All I'll say about the team, never quits. It may not show in actual, like, results, but the team doesn't quit, you know. They're trying out there. I mean, sometimes it looks like they're not
obvious.
Trying, but, I know, well, when you have 14 shots on net and it's like 40-8, you're going, are these guys trying? But they never, ever quit, and some of these teams do quit. They let down, and the Rangers somehow managed to get some goals, but it really is frustrating to be a fan and watch this kind of hockey. To every period is just it's every game is a nothing tie, or it's tied going into the third period. It's just we shouldn't be have to work hard for work this hard for goals. It gets a little crazy. All right, critical. I got to move you along because Jim
That's
says
fine.
So.
It's all right. I'll see you guys next week.
I blame everybody. No, I'm only kidding. I was just saying Jim didn't say that.
He blames me for everything. You should see the horrible things he said to Paul Kennedy about me.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. I'm only kidding. All right. Well, Critical, thank you so much for calling in, man. It's been a long time, and I've missed you.
Take care, Chris.
You.
You too.
You too. I'll still be here.
Take care. All right. Now, Jim, you have a...
Thanks for the Falcons.
That you want to share with us?
Yes. On the subject of Voltek Volsky, I read this and I thought this was hysterical. Voltek Volsky has practiced every day so far this week and felt better after Wednesday's skate than he did on Monday. But Tortorella wasn't exactly brimming with confidence when asked whether Volsky was making progress. He's got to get out of the tub, Tortorella said, presumably meaning Volsky must still spend significant time recovering off the ice. can't get him out of the tub.
Now, maybe he's talking about Newberry. Newberry's fat, tubby. I don't know. Can't get him out
can't
of the tub. I don't know that.
We all know your nose is growing right now, too, there, Pinocchio.
Thank you, Paulie. We'll have to ask Mantar. What was that? Was that that Odd Couple episode where Felix is dating the girl who's doing the nude play and they all got to get in the tub? You remember that one? The guy.
Yeah, I do.
Coming to the tub of life or something like that. He's got to get out of the tub. Can't get him out of the tub. I love it.
What is he saying? That Wolski is milking this? Like, he, you know. I don't get it. It's just he will be traded before the season is up. I mean, I don't think they'll make the All-Star break without him being traded, dumped, waived, whatever they have to do nowadays with caps and all this stuff. In the old days, they just used to just let go of the guy. I don't
Emil
know. Frank but,
would just push you off the train.
Yeah, they push you off the train and leave you.
No, goodbye.
To,
just
yeah,
throw you
goodbye.
From the train.
Yeah, goodbye. You bum.
Come on, get out of here, you bum.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they would do in the old days. But you don't know what they're going to do now. And I also have a feeling that Matt Zuccarello also is...
Goodbye,
just,
get out of here, you bum.
...is found his way. He's going to be finding his way out of New York very soon, too. Because the Rangers, obviously, if you're not a big... Yeah, if you, I've said this before. If you're not a big-ticket Ranger offensive juggernaut, you have no chance of making this team. You need to be a defensive back-checking wizard as well as a, you know. There's nobody from the Wolfpack forward-wise that will ever make the Rangers. Now, people say Derek Stepan. Derek Stepan never played with the Wolfpack. He came to the Rangers. You will never see a guy from the Wolfpack ever make the Ranger team. I mean, unless a skilled player. Let me throw that in. Because in the Newberries and the Kolarik, and, you know, whatever we got left. We'll never make this team because he just doesn't like offensive players. Because he holds, and if I may go off on a little rant here, he thinks that if a goal scorer doesn't score every other game, then it's not worth his time to put him on the ice. Whereas if he sees a guy working out there and checking, he can gauge their performance that way. But he has no way to gauge a young player's offensive ability if they are not on the score sheet consistently. And you also got to give minutes to scorers. You can't put them on for 4 minutes. It's not going to work. You put them with Eric Christensen and Mike Rupp on the fourth line. Guess what? It's not going to work. Okay? And the Rangers will have this problem. And I feel, Jim, I said this before, I think it's a big disconnect between what Sather wants to bring in and what Tortorella wants to do. Sather brings in wants to bring in some offensive players, and there seems to be a clash as soon as they hit the Ranger ice. Because Wojtek Wolski, for all his lollygagging that he may do, I just know one thing. When I look at this past performances on this guy, he scored 20 goals wherever he's played. He may have been a defensive liability, but when I'm watching a Ranger game and they have 3 shots on net in the second period, give me defensive liabilities. I want some offense. I'm falling asleep here. Critical is falling asleep. We're all falling asleep.
You know, you mentioned Newberry on the first line before, but you were saying last night he went from the Wolfpack to the first line.
Yeah, and he could be back in the – I'm surprised Brandon Prust isn't with the Wolfpack tonight.
Oh,
after he was shut out Bow Wow last night.
How come he gets the Enver lesson after he commits an offensive zone penalty, but the other Brandon – I'm talking about Dubinsky. How come he gets off scot-free?
Ranger fans are not going to like this.
Just as bad.
It's horrible. Let me tell you something, guys, and I'm not going to preface it anymore by saying I like Brandon Dubinsky, because I do. That's the last time I'm prefacing it.
No more preamble.
But if this guy doesn't get his head out of his ass and show some progress out there. He doesn't show like he cares. He's taking stupid penalties in these four games. I haven't seen anything out of him. I know he picked up an assist last night, but I'm not seeing this progress that I'm supposed to be seeing. I know you all love him, but listen, we talk plainly here. The guy is not reaching his potential. He's stagnant, and he's taking dumb penalties. That's why he doesn't have an A. That's why he wasn't probably even considered, because he's got this wacky temperament. He's got to show up, and he can't be streaky. All right, I'm done.
And he fought Biesca last night? What was Biesca showboat after that fight? Did he have any idea what the score was? He's down 3-0 with 5 minutes to go, and he's showboat because you fought Brandon Dubinsky?
Well, I think, I'm not going to defend Biesca on that play because I'm not a Vancouver fan, but obviously. But the problem with that is that there was a hit. Dubinsky challenged Biesca, and Biesca was like, I think Brandon said, fuck you, whatever. Let's go, whatever. And then they dropped the gloves. But I think Brandon had just made a hit and was kind of tired, and he didn't have the juice or the jam to really throw any punches. So he just held. He played huggy bear. And then Biesca, being the jerk that he is, he does that whole thing, hug, hug, hug. It's like, dude, you're listening to the New York Rangers. Get a break. Don't brag about anything. So
speaking of the F word, did you see when Boyle scored last night and he yelled out and he screamed out, fuck yes? They were talking.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I was tweeting during the game last night, and a lot of people noticed it. Like, as soon as he scored and they put the camera on him, and as the players were skating up to congratulate him, he yelled, fuck yes! Which was good, but it's not as good as Ryan Callahan in the first game when he scored and went, boom! I love that. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that one, but I missed the...
Boom goes to Callahan.
Yeah. Boom, I like
so
that.
Anyway,
boom.
So is Brandon Dubinsky, is he back to being Brandon Do Nothing with you? Is he Brandon Dustinsky or Do Nothing?
I want to make Ranger fans aware that I expect more. We expect more. Shouldn't we expect more from Brandon Dubinsky? I mean, I love he's a gamer, but he's not making progress. But, the Rangers as a team haven't looked good. They're not playing well. I mean, if it wasn't for that sensational game by Henrik last night, they lose. They lose badly. There are some good things to take away from it. Again, the ability to score late. The emergence of Ryan McDonough, Girardi played well. I thought Stepan looked okay. Gaborik, let's talk about Gaborik. This is a guy that a lot of people were burying him last year.
Trade him.
And he's putting the puck in the net. This is what he's supposed to do. We got Brad Richards, so, it's early, but things don't look so good. They don't look so good, but I think they'll settle down in time. So
did you watch the post game on MSG last night?
Nah, I went to sleep. I made some ridiculous comments on Twitter and then I left.
So did you see the winning hat?
No, what's that?
Well, Henrik Lundqvist, after the game, was wearing a black fedora as they were interviewing him. And they asked him where the hat came from. And he said that Brad Richards gave him the hat. It was something that he picked up in Europe, and they've been saving it. And when the game was over, he gave it to Henrik Lundqvist. That's going to be their thing, so to speak. The winner, whoever... I guess the standout player for every game is going to get the hat. So, in other words, Henrik Lundqvist better get real used to wearing that hat because he'll probably get it 30 or 40 times this season. And it's a black fedora. But I get the point that I was making about it. If you could probably Google the winning hat and you'll see 100 pictures of it. But it kind of looks like
that hat. I didn't know what it was.
It kind of looks like the old Rocky Balboa hat, a fedora, but whatever. But it's that, and I said this last night on Twitter, and I said it on Blue Shirt Banner today. It's little things like that are what Brad Richards brings to a locker room. It's a team bonding thing. It may seem like a stupid little, hat, and everybody's going to poke fun at it if they don't like the Rangers, and that, like Puck Daddy did today, whatever. But it's little things like that that kind of bond a team because it'll become a sense as a badge of courage or a badge of honor to wear that hat after a game. And, some guy, it might be Brandon Prust in game 60 who scores a late goal and gets to wear the hat. Little things like that that bring a team together. All that being said, if they don't find get a little organized on offense, they ain't going to win every night 4-0 with Henrik making 40 saves, that's for sure. So, like I said, he better get real used to wearing that hat.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I didn't know about that, so that's good. We got a hat now.
That's the winning hat.
Popeye
Doyle hat.
They got 24/7. Maybe they're just doing it for 24/7. I don't know. I don't know if they're following them around yet. I guess they are, right?
I don't know if that's – I think sometime around now, I believe it was supposed to start,
Well – on that note, let's go to a caller here, one of our constant callers, in a good way. Actually, he's been a little missing, so maybe I'm a repeat caller who I would give the hat of honor to, Mr. Mark. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Eddie?
Hey, Mark.
How are you?
I'm good.
The hat, and you have the cone.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw the post game. I saw you talking about it. I posted this. I don't know if it was on your page or what page about, this whole idea that courts kept defending using Europe as an excuse. But I remember, 94, we did that two-game tournament with Toronto in Europe, and we won the French's Mustard Cup. Right? And everyone was joking about that. But, they used that as like a badge of honor the entire season, how they bonded and brought guys together. I remember, that was before Gartner got traded, but, Kovalev and Gartner and Messier and all those guys. And same thing. You're right. I think I had forgotten. I didn't realize it was Richards who had given him the hat. And that makes a good point. He knows that little stuff. It's kind of like Scott Mellenby with the rat trick kind of stuff. All of a sudden something happens. Who knows? I don't know. I think it's kind of silly game 4 or 5 to do something like that. But, you never know.
speaking of real quick, I just want to mention this before I forget. Speaking of the traveling and this trip to Europe and a whole bit, I don't know if you saw this. Andrew Gross figured out how many miles the Rangers will have traveled by the time their home opener occurs on the 27th. Mm-hmm. 16,000 miles they'll have traveled in the span of less than 30 days.
Wow.
16,000 miles.
Well, when you think about it, it doesn't really make sense. Yes, they have to play on the road because MSG, but why are they playing on the West Coast after Europe? Why didn't they schedule to ease the travel? Washington, Philly, Jersey, the Islanders. We played the Islanders, and that was it. Who's to say we had to go from Europe all the way over to frickin' Vancouver? That makes no sense. I don't understand. You have to be away from MSG, fine, but why do you have to be in the Western Conference? I don't understand.
Yeah, could they just have played the division?
The Devils, Flyers.
Boston, this is the same league.
Buffalo.
Exactly, right. And this is the same league that can't figure out that Winnipeg's in the Northwest Division for a whole year. So, I've given up trying to understand why it takes so long for them to make or how they make decisions like that. It's ridiculous. So, you guys want to be positive, right? So we're going to stay positive, right?
No, I want your critique, your analysis on especially the last two games, the Islander game.
I'm actually very bummed. I didn't know you guys were – I was in New York City on Saturday, and I almost stuck around. I was only there in the morning with my family, and I stuck around and thought, maybe guys are hanging out at MSG or nearby a bar or whatever. Why? Because they're playing the Islanders. And then I remember I had my dog, Tony Henrik here, so I had to come back and take care of him. But otherwise, I almost stuck around. So I'm, but now, you, where were you guys? Where did you have that party, that birthday party?
It was at Cafe 31, right across on 31st Street. And,
right there.
I thought, I want you to go right at it. I want you to speak the truth. Speak
okay.
truth to power.
Well, the only thing, the thing that stands out to me on that Saturday, that seems like decades ago already, but Saturday, I mean, Tavares was the guy. I mean, he's what? He's like, I mean, I know it's early. He's like third in the league in scoring. The guy has had 8 points in two games they were talking about. He, and that play from Strike to Tavares on the power play, that tip in, I mean, that's what we need. If you have a guy like Richards and Gabrick, those are the kinds of plays we need on a power play. You know, set play that is almost impossible to defend. I mean, Lundqvist, as great as he is, had no chance on that play. I mean, no goalie's going to stop that. That was a beautiful deflection. And, I mean, that's what you need. You know, not these prayer shots from the off angle and, God, I hope it goes in. Or, you know, even the shots, if you think about it, even the shots that Vancouver took last night, you know, they had two power plays, and yet, but we had two power plays, and yet they were out shooting us, and then they got all those power plays, and Hank made all those saves. They really weren't, I mean, they were rebound saves, but he was always in the right position. Yes, he played really well, but they really weren't, I would call, like, high-quality chances in the sense of, you know, like a very good goalie, you know, like a Bakun or some of these other guys probably would have stopped them also because, you know, if they're in the right position, or Cam Ward or some of those guys. I mean, a very good goalie would make, you know what I mean? But there are, you know, you want the shots from a guy like Richards or a guy like, you want the shots that are like upper corner, no chance. I mean, those are the highly superstar skilled players that they are, you know. And I think, you know, like when Gabrick went 5-hole against the Island, whoever was playing, I forget which is, the Russian guy, Novakov. And, you know, when that's the kind of goals you want. But so that's what frustrates me about the power play of the Rangers. It isn't so much, I mean, of course, it sucks that we're not scoring. It's the fact that we're playing literally like we belong in the 30th power play of the league because we're not really trying these high quality or low percentage plays. It's like these risky plays. And when they go in, it's great. But if not, you know, that's the thing. That, to me, that's coaching. Because you have the talent on the ice. You have guys, even Delzato, I thought, looked good last night on the power play, and even came back and made a good defensive play last night when they came down shorthanded. So they have the right guys, with Delzato and Richards at the point, and Gabrick and Stepan or whoever in front. But if those guys are not moving the puck around, or that's system, that's Sullivan, or whoever the hell runs the power play, that's the problem. I mean, that's it. I mean, otherwise, you know, the rest of the game is all spontaneous. But when you're on a power play, you need to, you know, like I said, the Islanders are not even a playoff team. And look at them. They've got these set plays with a guy who just came back from an injury and another guy who's clearly a star in the league. But, you know, they nailed it. You know, and he, you know, that was the frustrating thing about watching. I was to compare, you know, Saturday to yesterday. But, anyway.
Well, the Rangers, to be fair,
right,
they don't have a Mark Streit. They don't.
Okay, right. I agree.
I mean, you know, to be fair, the Rangers early on in the season, and even I think in the last two games, we've seen Dan Girardi out there in the power play.
Right. But
so,
I mean, the way,
you know,
Brad Richards was being built up as the power play quarterback, I, you know, that's the expectation I have. A guy who doesn't necessarily have to be a defenseman, but somebody who has that ability. I mean, and Richards is playing very well. I'm not saying he's making some good passes, good reads on the power play and at even strength. I mean, I have no real issue with him. But I'm just saying, I'm just taking that one play as an example, you know, of you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I think you make a good point that it does point to coaching. You know, there's definitely a problem. We've seen this over
right.
and over and over again with different personnel. And I don't know how it's going to get fixed, but I think it is going to get better. It has to get better. I mean, it's last.
Right.
But I think once this team gets settled, I feel like the team is not settled. I mean, they've just looked very disorganized
I agree.
You know,
yeah, I think that's the frustrating thing part, you know, they spent a whole month with Volsky on the wing, and he wasn't really doing with that. I mean, it's like, kind of like Richards and Gabrick, you know, it was like, as soon as he got signed, we're going to put them together. You know, that was like a done deal, you know, by everybody. You know, and it's worked out for the most part. You know, even then, you know, if they're not scoring, they're still, they're doing okay, they're fine. But then the left wing has been the issue. So then they put Polsky there the entire month of preseason up until – and then like a week before we start to play our regular season game, they stick Dubinsky in there, which not only doesn't make sense from a left wing standpoint, but breaks up the second line. You know, so now you've got all this chemistry issues when you actually had – and then lo and behold, four games into the season, oh, wow, let's see if we put Stepan in the front of the top line. That keeps our other two lines that we like together. It's like, no freaking kidding. I knew that in July. It's like, why are you waiting? You should have been, they should have been, these guys would have been seamless by now if they practiced the entire, you know, preseason
right.
and the Europe schedule and the opening two games against LA or whoever, and, you know, and then come in and we wouldn't be, you know, we'd still be only five games in the season, but and maybe not even winning, but we'd at least have like a, you know, like a warm-up session, not just, you know, it's just very frustrating.
I just feel that, again, I talked about it earlier, about the disconnect mm-hmm. between, I think Sather is a guy who wants Volsky in there, and Tortorella just appeased him in the preseason, and then
right.
when it came to actually doing it, he's not going
yeah.
to do it. And
well, even Avery, I mean, I don't want to talk about Avery really at all, but even Avery, you know, you hear, so what does Sather think? Oh, he's colorful, he's good for the league. I mean, that's a big, you know, praise of Avery. He just wants him for the headlines. And, but you're right, but then Tortorella, you knew, was going to, like, either relegate him for a few minutes or get rid of him like he did. But it's just, you're right, there's a total backwards. And you guys asked, you know, somebody in the AHL, are they going to play for the Rangers? No, but guess what? P.A. Parenteau, Islanders, Manny Malhotra, Vancouver, Mark Savard in Boston before he got hurt. You know, now Dale Weiss is already on a Stanley Cup finalist team, fourth line. I mean, all of our minor leaguers are playing in the league somewhere else. You know, it's
like
ridiculous.
That's right. It seemed like Dale Weiss was getting double shifted last night. He was constantly on the ice.
I was like, this guy could barely, if it was gonna, it was a question mark if he was even going to make our team. He could sign, the scouts love him, and now he's like definitive fourth liner out there. I mean, what is that?
Well, that got to me too, Mark, because it was like, here the Rangers are a team that can barely make the playoffs, right? And
right.
Dale Weiss was like this insurmountable force
right.
keeping him out of the Ranger lineup. And then he goes to the Stanley Cup runner-up. They're pleased to have them. They wanted him.
Like he's the second
their
coming.
First and
I
fourth
like
line of their best lines all year. Dale Weiss this, Dale Weiss that. Then we got our draft pick we traded for Tim Erickson, Roman Horik.
Right.
You know, he was
and
years
oh,
away.
Name,
now he's playing from Calgary.
Right.
Evgeny Grachev.
That's right. And
he makes St. Louis. Now, I'm
I
not
know,
saying these guys are going to turn out to be superstars or even
no,
be
it's
worth
just a, it's just the point
about.
Of the whole thing.
It seems to be a lot of stubbornness and people just not getting their real opportunity.
You're right.
You know, that's all.
Like, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's right. But I want to ask Jim. Well, Jim, I think you were the one. Did you post about Paige Richards? Were you the one?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, she's cute.
I have her freeze framed on my TV screen right now. I rewound the DVR. I put it on the picture to look at it. Because I thought I missed something. I'm not seeing much out of her. I don't know.
You got way too much time on your hands, son.
I know. I already told you that. I do.
Well, Paige Richards, which is
yeah.
Mike Richards' sister, which we will, of course, John Monotone let us know.
Brad Richards.
I hope I don't get this one. Like
yeah,
I got with
like
Brian Berard.
Like Brian Berard, exactly.
But Brad Richards' mom, her name is Delight. Like
yeah, exactly.
D-E-I-D-E.
Like the group.
D-Light.
There was like a hip-hop group called Delight. I remember them in the 80s.
Group is in the heart, apparently.
Yeah, exactly, right, exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So if I ever see Brad Richards, I'm going to go, D-Live grooves in the heart.
Oh, my God.
But
anyway.
Well, I thank you for joining us. We must press on. We must
oh,
move
no
on
problem.
To more,
no problem.
More important things, like selling T-shirts.
Thanks,
yeah,
Mark.
Okay. Thank you very much for the laughs. I appreciate it, guys. Take it easy.
Anytime.
Okay. Take care, Mark.
Yep.
Laughs are free. T-shirts aren't.
That's right. Now it's time for the greatest commercial ever made. Blue Shirt Underground Radio fans, the 2011-2012 season of Ranger hockey is upon us, and we'd like to unveil the inaugural Blue Shirt Underground Radio T-shirt.
This magnificent and wondrous royal blue t-shirt had print on both the front and the back. How's that for state-of-the-art? On the front of the shirt, it identifies you as a listener of the most subversive Ranger broadcast out there. Blue shirt, Underground Radio. And on the back of the shirt, it exclaims proudly, "Can you hear us?" This must-have shirt is available in all men's sizes and costs only $15. $17 will get you the shirt shipped to anywhere in North America. How's that for a fucking deal? If you'd like to take a gander at what the shirt looks like before you buy it, go to blueshirtunderground.com. If you want to pay by PayPal, there's a way to do it right there on the page. The best way to get this transaction of a lifetime started is email. Simply email eddie@rangercrisis.com and he'll help you get the ball rolling in acquiring this exclusive in-demand item. Show the entire hockey world that you're part of an informative, no-nonsense, uncensored radio program. Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the one true voice of the Rangers fan.
And we're back!
And we're back!
We're back.
And I guess we should remind everyone that if they don't want to wear a T-shirt, they can still just go to www.blueshirtunderground.com and donate to the show and help support us. Keep us on the air forever, if you will. And you will also find a collection of our best sound clips, including, I don't know, what do we have on there?
I don't know. We have a couple of these.
If your lips are wet and hold on.
Yeah, all of them. I gotta find that new Pauly D one that's sweeping the nation.
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
You can listen to that all day long.
Oh my God.
What?
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
Yeesh to beesh.
If your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
You got that in
Are you on the
twice.
Page?
We all know your nose is growing right now, too, that Pinocchio.
got that uploaded
all right, so
twice. That's pretty funny.
I just loved it so much.
I know.
I don't know why. But, all right, so let's get back to it. We got some more phone calls. Should I squeeze as much phone callers in here as I can, Jim?
Get them on. Mandar is... has been screaming and yelling in the chat room, so you got him up there. I see Robbie, and then there's two unknown callers. So,
well, I want to go to
Robbie
the
631.
Okay. I want to go to the 631
Robbie,
number. Robbie, okay. What, Robbie's going to go to sleep?
No. Robbie was the 201-788 that you put on. You tried to bring on first, and he wasn't there. So he should be held till last as punishment.
Okay. Area code 631-678. You're with the Blue Shirt Underground with Jim and Eddie. We are coming in a subversive manner to a earphone near you. 631, you're on the air.
Hi, boys.
Oh, it's the great Margaret Hurley.
Yes, I was off today. I did my skating this morning, so I'm resting up here. I just wanted to let you know that I kind of predicted what was going to happen on Saturday because I got invited to go to the Tampa game on Thursday night. And when I saw the Fish Sticks destroy Tampa, I knew that it could not bode well for the boys in blue. And I am the kiss of death, quite literally. I managed to, after the warm-up, shake Marty St. Louis' hand, so it was all over for Tampa.
Did he have a little baby hand, Martin St. Louis? He's a small man.
The security guard at Nassau, I said, look, I just want to stand down on the floor. So when he comes in, I want to see how much taller than me he was on skates. Now, skates had about 2.5 or 3 inches to your height. So he was only about 2.5 or 3 inches taller than me, and I'm 5'5". So he was like Marty Strzok a little.
No,
I'm watching the game.
For what?
What?
Why do they have security guards? For what? To keep the 15 people from jumping the boards that go to see that squad?
I swear to God, there couldn't have been more than 8,000 people there Thursday night, last Thursday night. And here I am going in there thinking I'm going to see the Bolts destroy them. And what do I get? Crazy bullshit. The same as I get every time I go in that building. Within the first minute of play, Victor Hedman, their first-round draft choice, punches the puck into his own net, and I knew it was all over. It was a disgrace. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, God, I got to listen to these obnoxious Islander fans going crazy. And I usually bring earplugs with me. Because that arena has the loudest sound system I've ever heard. And
there's no head in the building.
You have tinnitus when you walk out of that place. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's true.
So Saturday comes along, and I'm sitting here at home, and a friend of ours is here watching the game with us, who is an Islander fan. Now, I'm going to preface this and say that, you know, Islander fans are idiots. I mean, they just are. This guy has no idea. He has no clue who Yevgeny Nabokov is or was. And he's pissed that Capuano is playing Nabokov instead of Montoya. So,
what?
Are you kidding me? And, of course, you know, it was just, you know, crazy bullshit always happens whenever the Rangers play the Islanders. I will not pay money to go into that building and watch the BS that goes on, what with stupid referees and everything else. I just don't want to know from. I just chalk it up. If they win, that's a plus. If they lose, I don't give a crap because it's just horrible. It's just a nightmare for me to go to watch it, to go there to watch it, to watch it on TV because I know something always bizarro happens in the mausoleum, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, they lose. The first game of the season last year on Columbus Day, they lost. I was there, and you're right. It's misery for a Ranger fan to go and watch them lose there.
Now, here's the thing. My daughter was supposed to go to the game with a prospective boyfriend. And when she found out that prospective boyfriend was going to be with a bunch of her other guy friends, and they were all going to be tailgating in the parking lot, she gave it a pass. And it's a good thing she did because the boys got into an altercation with some Islander fans in the building after the game was over. So I'm like, wow. You know, I said, I'm so glad she didn't go because God knows, you know, those people, not for nothing, Ranger fans can be animals sometimes too. But the preponderance of idiots in that building is vast. It's just ridiculous.
Their whole fan base are a bunch of cretins.
Well, I just saw this thing about the tattoo parlor. I didn't know about that. They have a tattoo.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't know it.
You
know, what's next? What's next? A Walmart substore? I don't get it. You know, I mean, is it like, you know, your team's redneck when they have a tattoo parlor in the building?
They got trailer park rental places there too. You can get a trailer park in the back.
Well, are any of the people, any of the fans that should, you know, for Halloween, they should go in as Julian and the guy with the glasses from Trailer Park Boys? I think that would be rich, you know? So funny. But as far as the, I just chalked up the whole Saturday night experience to more crazy BS at the mausoleum, and I let it go. You know, you got to let it go, otherwise you'd go crazy. But as far as the Vancouver game, I'm like, you know, Let's not celebrate here. I mean, that was one of the finest goaltending performances I've seen from Henrik Lundqvist. And Henrik Lundqvist has been carrying the team for the last 7 years. And the thing that killed me is that, you know, when your defenseman, when your rookie defenseman is your best offense, you're in deep shit. You're in trouble.
Wow.
That's what,
granted, he is a second-year defenseman.
All right, but how much did he play last year?
He played 60 games. I know what you're saying. I'm not going to be picky with you. You're right. But, you know, I agree with you. We were all excited that they won and they scored late. But up to that point, we were ready to fire everybody. We were going to fire the whole team. We were going to fire Sullivan. We're going to fire Tortorella. We want Sazagon. The Whale Pack stink. We want to fire Rosen. We want to fire Micheletti. People were going absolutely batshit about who to get rid of and why this team was horrible.
Yeah.
But then, all of a sudden, a couple goals, and we're all lighting up, but you're right on target. Henrik Lundqvist, one of the best games ever that I've seen from him.
And I'm driving to the gym this morning, and I hear those, again, those knuckleheads on the NHL and XM, and I hear, and the Vancouver Canucks were embarrassed by the New York Rangers being shut out 4-0, and I said, embarrassed? Hello, did you watch the game? The Rangers are the ones who were embarrassed. If anybody did any embarrassing, it was Lundqvist embarrassing Vancouver. And you know what? People got those again, I guess Vancouver fans and Islander fans belong in the same boat because those people out there are just ridiculous. They're booing Luongo. Two-time Vezina candidate gets him to the Stanley Cup final game seven, and these people are booing him. What did they do after the game was over? Go out and turn over some cars and set them on fire? I mean, these people are idiots.
I know. I was watching CNN after the game to see if there were any riot breakouts because they don't take losing well over there. But come on.
I love every minute of it.
What's
an
Islander riot?
Booing him. An Islander riot. It's like
what's an Islander riot? They knock the hot dog cart vendor over? I mean, what's going to happen in that kind of riot? I mean, there ain't no cause to turn over in that parking lot.
You remember those bum fights? That's what an Islander riot would look like. Just two guys fighting over their shopping cart full of cans. I love the anarchy.
All right,
I love Vancouver booing Luongo. I love it.
Listen, you guys, you take it easy, and Calgary's not doing so good, so let's see if this is going to be a test of two teams' skills or a test of their mediocrity.
Well, we're due to put a good one up there, Margaret. We're due for a good game.
Let's hope so. But you know what? Toronto they lost tonight, I think, but they've been on fire, so it might be an instant replay of last season's home opener, eh?
Yep. Let's hope so.
We'll see.
All right,
good
take care, Margaret.
Guys.
Thanks for checking in
care.
With us.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Margaret.
The semi-great Margaret Hurley. Margaret calling in, jinxing Tampa Bay, and made some good points about Henrik. And listen, we're all excited they won. I'm glad they got on the board, but we got a lot of work to do, Jimmy. Jimmy, we got a lot of work to do. What else we got? We got Robbie, and we got another number here. We got Mandar. I don't know what's going on. Let's see what Robbie's got to say. Get ready, Mr. Trigger Man. Robbie, how are you, man? That's right, Robbie. You're on the air.
You got this little
thing. Bye. What is wrong with that kid? I just don't get it. I just don't get it. It's a simple radio show. Moving on to our next phone caller, area code 718-225. 718-2225. You're on Bouchard Underground Radio, home of subversive Ranger talk. Here you are. You're on the air. 718-225. Welcome
to the
program. Yes, I can hear you.
It's Stan.
Stan from Bayside.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
How are you, Stan? Doing
all right.
Good?
For some reason, the chat room, I just have a blank screen here. There's just nothing there. I don't know what the problem is. I rebooted a half a dozen times, and I still got nothing there going. Anyone else have this problem?
You have to unclick the button that says show only intelligent thoughts.
Try and find that button. I don't see it. Oh, whatever.
I don't know why it's looking on the chat, but I don't know why it's giving you the.
Mandar says that your name shows that you are on the list, that you're here, but you can't see anything.
Yeah, my name's there, but there's no chat room. It's just blue screen.
Maybe you have a filter that filters all stupid comments.
I have no idea. Well, whatever. Anyway. Yeah. I'm going up Friday. Last year, I tried about three or four times to go up and see the Whale because my son's up in works at ESPN. And last year, he was working nights and weekends. So every time I said, you know, let's go see a game, he had to work. So this year they switched him. He's working mornings and weekdays now. So he's off Friday night, so I'm going up there. I'll give you a whale report next week if I can.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And also, this was interesting. He called me earlier. He said they may want him to follow Avery around.
Oh.
He goes on like road trips and does stuff. So I'll see if any turns up there.
Oh, that'd be cool. I guess maybe they're thinking about doing like a special on Avery, maybe, or
yeah,
yeah, like doing like, you know, how it is for a guy to play in the AHL. And let's face it, he's an interesting character. There's no doubt about it. You know?
Yeah, sure.
He doesn't steal. So Stan, what are your have you been able to catch the last two games, and what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I almost catch every game all year. The Islander game. Well, last night obviously was the Henrik show. Had to be one of his top five games he's ever had. Look, the guy, he's going to be a future Hall of Famer. He's the best player in the world at his position. And the team, you know, they're struggling right now, but you can't look at the four games. You know, you got to give – I always look at 15, 20 games, maybe around Thanksgiving. I like to evaluate the team. After, like, 20 games, you start to get an idea of where they're at. So, you know, you got to give them a little time still.
Okay. Now, here's a question for both you and Jim. And this is a toughie. Where do you put Henrik in the all-time Ranger goalie list? Is he better than Mike Richter? Is he better than Eddie Jacobin? We know he's better than John Davidson. As a matter of fact, Mike Dunham was better than John Davidson. But out of those two guys, where do you put Henrik?
He's number one, without a doubt.
Wow. And you've been following the Rangers since when?
Well, since Jacqueline, really. I mean, that's when I could really remember, you know. I was going to games.
Right.
I mean, before that, very sporadically. But, yeah, he's the best. I mean, who's better than him right now? Well, you could maybe Tim Thomas, but, you know. He just came on the last few years. He's you know, got a few more years left.
And Jim, where do you stand? Where does the chat room stand? But Jim, more importantly, where do you stand on
The chat room. Mandar puts him second. Greg's putting him third. I'm assuming Greg is putting Jacobin and Richter ahead of Lundqvist, and we know Greg's got an affinity for Jacobin.
They played on a lot better teams too. I mean, Jacobin had a lot of good players on his team, and Richter played, you know, with Messier and Leach.
The only thing I would say, yes, you're right about that, but there was a lot of games where Richter was solely like Henrik, where he was the best player on the ice a lot of the times. I mean, you know, before 94 for sure. But I think it's the tie. I think the cup is the only difference. But if you're talking just the player, I don't know. It's really close for me. I can't say, you know, all-time Ranger goalies. I got to put him at number two. He's got to win in the playoffs a little bit more. I know that he's been... You know, it's not like he's been subpar. He's played out of this world in some games in the playoffs, but he just doesn't have the playoff success.
Stop yourself.
They have to score more goals.
Stop.
That's always
John
the same.
John Davidson and John Van Beesbrook do not belong in this conversation.
Yes. Anybody
They're
named John
even...
doesn't belong in this.
I mean, I had Davey Kerr, who's the goalie, right? I mean, I'm just saying, if you're talking about their all, you know, I'm just looking at all their goalies who, you know, have played over the years.
I mean, there's nobody alive who remembers these guys, so, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
Steve Buczynski, the Puck Gozinski, that guy.
Red Life.
Eddie Mio, they're throwing all kinds of names up there. Now, it's close. See, I've only seen Jacobin on tape. And you're right, though, Stan. He did play on some really stacked teams, you know, the gag line and the whole. The Rangers had very good teams during his. They never won anything, but they had very good teams. Richter, though, faced a lot of crazy shots. I mean, like, he played in an era where it was a little bit more wide open than it is. I think it's a tie right now. But if Henrik, I mean, it's dead heat. Maybe I just, but. last night was one of the all-time best part from him, and one for a Ranger goalie in a long, long time that I could say, wow. So.
Yeah, I mean, let's, they would have lost that game by 3-4 goals if not for him. It was completely did
yes.
change the whole game.
Right. So, yeah, it's close for me. Maybe I'm just being too sentimental about Richter and not really looking at
stat-wise.
Oh, look,
I love Mike Richter. I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame. But to me, Lundqvist is just unbelievable.
That's true. And I guess the bigger testament is last night he's playing with the, you know, Tim Erickson and Delzato is the second pair, and Jeff Wojtka and Steve Eminger. So he's really under the gun out there. So he played fantastic. So you think they're going to right the ship? Where are you right now?
I mean, they got good players. They're not winning the cup, but they should have a pretty good season. Just give them a few weeks to get their act together.
I don't know. I think they will get it together. But, we were talking, people were talking the Rangers could battle for the conference. You don't see the Rangers being the top three in the conference or
I thought they had a chance to even win the conference, depending on Crosby's situation. I mean, Philly's playing better than I thought. So, even the Islanders certainly look better.
Yeah, they look better. Yeah.
Well, let me make one other prediction. I don't know if they're going to have Stepan looks pretty good on the left wing, but next year you can pencil in Kreider as the top line, the left winger. You heard that first year.
I think they wanted him this year, but he opted for college. I think they really wanted him badly to play. And Sather really is high on him, and I think – and that's something to look forward to, but I just hope the Rangers can play, get some shots on net. I mean, these games are brutal to watch. I mean, they're brutal from a Ranger point. The other team is in our zone. We're taking power plays. One thing I don't understand, and before I let you go here, it seems Tortorella had told him, and you know how he chastises him about all whatever their shortcomings. He speaks to him and tells him they're taking bad penalties, and they do the same thing.
Yeah.
Are they tuning him out, you think, or it's just the happenstance that they take stupid penalties?
That's it. They take stupid penalties. Look, I mean, they know you're not supposed to take lousy penalties. I mean, like the press penalty. I mean, look, sometimes you'll take a penalty because, it's a reaction sort of thing. But for you to grab somebody's stick in the offensive zone, you got to actually think about taking your hand off of your stick and grabbing his. So, I mean, that's as bad a penalty as you can do. Especially in the offensive zone. I mean, there's no reason to take an offensive zone penalty like that.
Right.
And I can't explain why you do that, but they took, four of them last night? Five of them in the offensive zone?
There were four or five, I think. It might have been five, which that's five too many.
Yeah.
I mean, one, you could see it happens, but and I think a couple why they had power plays, which that really annoys me, taking offensive zone penalties and negating a power play, that really gets under your skin. So, I think the Rangers will, the Rangers just got to find their footing and then they'll be okay. And winning a game, I think, will help them. Now they got to win under their belt. They know what it feels like to win and how that feels.
These next three games are certainly winnable. If they play well, they're better than the three teams they're playing. So,
we'll see what happens. Dan, I hope your screen, your chat problems get resolved.
Yeah.
And thanks for calling.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care, Stan.
Good night.
Great Stan from Bayside. What else is in the news, Robin? What else? We got Great Mando.
Waiting.
Okay, I got him. Mando! How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, Mandar.
How's everybody doing today? How are you svelte individuals doing now?
Listen, we ain't svelte yet. Well, I know Jim is svelte, but I'm still working on it.
Before we get to the hockey stuff, Mandar, what was that Odd Couple episode I was talking about before? What were those people saying when they were trying to come into the tub of life or something like that?
of life. Yeah, Felix was dating a what he thought was a librarian.
Right,
Murray
right.
And the cops used to raid it every week. That's how he knew about it. Took Oscar to see it. There was an annoying penguin guy in there too.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know what I'm doing right now is that I'm actually having a little tribute to Matt Zuccarello. I'm having some Stella D'Oro Swiss fudge cookies. Figuring that's the last Swiss thing that hopefully I'm going to be seeing for a while. But I digress. Anyway.
Well, he's Norwegian. He's Norwegian. He's played in the Swedish Elite League. All right.
The rain on my parade, big man. Nice. Thanks. Oh, listen to all you. I'm laughing at all of you now. First of all, I like hearing the, oh, my God, look, Mel Hoch is playing on the third line somewhere, not mentioning that he got bounced around from Columbus to somewhere else. He's in Vancouver now, and, oh, no, Dale Weiss is playing on somebody's fourth line. See, they take all our cast-offs, see? All our cast-offs are Hall of Famers and 50 goal scorers. And we get
blowing it out of proportion again. You
but
heard
what
I said.
No. You're right. I am blowing it out of proportion. But that's what you guys say when you bitch about it. That's what you guys sound like. You blow it out of proportion.
I don't sound like that. I just find a disconnect between how hard it takes to make the Rangers roster, but you can make anybody else's roster real quick.
But the thing is, it's
Vancouver's roster as opposed to our roster.
And how's Vancouver doing this year?
Oh, stop. It's four games in, five games in.
Well, let's keep the standards changing.
Oh, my gosh, so believe. The Rangers scouts who say, and Brass or the evaluators who say, Dale Weiss stinks. He can't make our team. He can't make our team. Or the runner-ups, the Vancouver Canucks scouts, who say,
right.
We really
need him. He got the 29 other teams that passed up on him to sign with a team that let go of their best offensive defenseman.
Mel Hoch, how he bounced around. This guy was signed as a free agent. He's making big bucks. He ain't bouncing around anywhere, big boy.
Big bucks?
Look at his salary. He's making money.
Compared to what you and I make, yeah, but I'm not thinking that you compare
really
to the NHL. Care. Probably under the average. But either way, regardless, I mean, we pick up players from other teams, too, that weren't thought of as very much. Look, L.A. gave up on Boyle. Calgary did Prust as a throw-in. We signed Girardi as a free agent after nobody drafted him and nobody signed him. So, I mean, look, it happens to every team in this league. Everybody picks up everybody else's scraps and see if they can make something happen from it. But we got to lament this and spend time talking bullshit about Dale Weiss got double shit.
Okay, let's move on.
Yes, you know what? I thought Hank played fantastic yesterday, and he was the absolute reason that it was a tie game until there was 15 minutes to go. But we seem to fail to recognize that, yeah, okay, they played a shitty the first period was slightly Vancouver. Second period was all Vancouver. Third period, different story. Look, folks, you know, it wasn't all of a sudden, you know, the puck didn't leave the Ranger end of the ice for the entire game up to the time they scored. You know, there was some things going on there both ways. Up and until the Rangers started the parade to the penalty box, they had the first two power plays in the first period. And then they started the five straight penalties, which got them back on their heels and were getting dominated. And Hank played phenomenal. They wouldn't have even been in the game if it wasn't for that. But then, on a whatever you want to call it, a fluke rebound, what a shot by Rupp. After that, I didn't see Vancouver dominate. And you know what? Maybe that's the time that the season turns where the Rangers all of a sudden start dominating another team. You know, we're going to fail to realize, we wouldn't have won if it wasn't for Hank keeping us in. Absolutely true. But I'll tell you what, by the time the 15-minute rolled around in the third period, they took control of that game. They buried chances against the Stanley Cup runners-up who have now not scored on us in the last two times they've played us. So enough of the garbage.
What are we arguing about here? What's the argument? That I'm supposed to be happy that this team did look like was flaccid and impotent for two periods, but they came alive.
What did you think about the way they played in the third period? Now, it's up to you whether or not you think that that play
that happened. I felt that Vancouver, because of the lack, they weren't able to get anything past Henrik. They flat out gave up in the third period, in the last 10-15 minute mark. They flat gave up. That's what I felt like. The defenseman stopped skating. That's how I felt.
So it was all on Vancouver, and the Rangers did nothing to force that.
I also said that it does, in this broadcast, that the Rangers have an ability as a team to never stop working, which is great to have, six and a half guys.
That's a great generalization, but I'm talking specifically last night.
What do you mean? Not working? I don't know. They continue to press. They don't give up. Okay? But what happens in the first and second period? How many games do we have to go into the third period waiting for this magic that you laud, for them to catch up with the other team? It's just not going to work. They've got to come out.
I saw a team in the third period that scored four goals. What'd you say, Amanda? I saw a team that scored four goals in the third period last.
You're breaking the fourth wall.
I saw a Vancouver team come out after an emotional pregame ceremony from a player that, you know, they did a tribute to. I saw a Vancouver team, get stymied by a goaltender that wasn't letting anything in. But then I saw a third period get dominated by the visiting team. Now, for whatever reason that may be, you know, I go back to the coaching on that. I don't think he had any answer to what was going on there in the first two periods. I think the players took it upon themselves in the third to go ahead and do, you know, what they did. And I am going to choose to think that the way they played in, you know, to me it's not who you went to the party with, it's who you left with. So for me, the lasting impression of the last 15 minutes of that game yesterday is more indicative of what I think they're going to be able to play tomorrow without having a week between games, without having 2 weeks between games.
So you're counting on Ryan McDonough, Mike Rupp, and Brian Boyle to light the lamp tomorrow as well. Is that what you're counting on?
But I'm not counting on a second line not to have a goal in the last three games either. So where it might not be a Ryan McDonough or a Mike Rupp, maybe we'll get a Dubinsky scoring a goal. Maybe Anisimov won't be afraid to shoot when he's got the puck in the slot.
That was a bad play by Artie. I got to admit, he had an awesome shot, and he decided to make a stupid pass at Dubinsky, which was awful.
Right.
And I remember about that. But that's, again, it's indicative of the Rangers not being able to get any sustained offense going. They didn't make three passes in the offensive zone, even strength, until that burst. And that's concerning. It's concerning in the first four games, seeing the same old, you know, stuff. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I know your lasting impression is the Rangers winning. And listen, it was my last impression, and doing well and scoring and capitalizing and getting, you know, demoralizing Luongo and the rest of those Vancouver idiots. But I look at it, you've got to play three periods of hockey. You cannot play two and a half periods of hockey. I mean,
I agree with that. They definitely, but they didn't break. You see, didn't you like seeing some other things around there? Look at the little signs there. What happened when Burrows tried to go in there and scrape a puck under Henrik after he covered it? How many guys
McDonough held him up, and if you saw that play, Callahan was the one who knocked him down. And, yes, I saw little things, but I also saw Lundqvist get run the first minute he got knocked down. Yes, I see the positives. I think I've gone over the positives. Jim, have I gone over the positives? Jim?
Yes, you have.
I mean, I'm not, I think as a matter of fact, I think more Ranger fans were positive. They forgot, like you, the rest of the game. I'm just saying that, the things got to be corrected. This team is, the players are in place. There's no Wade Redden to blame. There's no Michael Roosevelt to blame. All these blame, why we're not playing well. Now it's to the guys who are here. Let's do it. You know, not leave that goaltender out to dry. It's a freaking shooting gallery.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, what happened yesterday, was all a result, too, of having defensive pairs that are not what we expected going into the year, and the injuries do take a toll. But, again, they held that offense to no goals. Now, whether it was a collective effort, whether it was Hank standing on his head, bottom line is there were no goals scored. I mean, the penalty kill didn't allow anything. Now, a lot of times that's because of the goaltender, too, but –
No, they played good. They had a good penalty kill.
They had a good penalty. The forwards were out there. I tell you what, I've seen four games of Brad Richards. I've liked him in every single game. I tell you what, this guy has been absolutely good.
I got one thing I'm worried about.
What's that?
When he plays the point on the power play.
Yeah, when he does forwards out there, or if he tries them with number four, yeah, absolutely.
It gets to be a little dicey if the puck somehow goes over a stick at the point. But that's with any forward playing the power play. But, no, the Brent Rich is certainly – and I don't think he's even come close to what he's going to be able to do.
No, but I've seen him do a lot of little things. He back checks. He wins faceoffs. He's making some great plays. And if a play is not there, he's not forcing it. You know, I don't like they're constantly dumping it in because, you know, on that line, because there's no physical presence to get it back after you've dumped it in. They've got to win races to the pucks in that case on that line. But I want to see the second line step up. I think I've seen Anisimov improve since last year. I think I've seen Callahan, you know, still be Callahan. I haven't seen Dubinsky do a step up. I see him marching in place, and that concerns me right now for them. You know, I thought
we said at the top of the show the same thing, and I'm pissed about Artie not shooting that puck. I'm glad you brought that up because that's where he should know. You know, he shouldn't be unselfish. He's got a terrific wrist shot. He's got to shoot.
Sure does.
You know. Again, and he made a low percentage pass to a guy that was farther away from the net than he was. And that pack line, they got to play. And they haven't hit their stride either. They haven't really established that deep forecheck yet.
No,
now, I don't
they
know
haven't.
If it's because they haven't played, they've only played together a couple games, if so, because they were experimenting with Dubinsky and this and that. I find myself always arguing with you, but we're both saying the same thing. I don't understand this. Jim, can you figure this out for me? Play Dr. Phil here.
I can't figure it out.
It's always argumentative for this. He's just mad because people miss Dale Weiss. That's it.
They interviewed Dale Weiss last night on MSG. I didn't recognize him without a fist in his face.
Ah, or blood squirting out of his eye.
Yeah, or upright. I just got this email. Can I read this really quick?
Yeah, give it to us.
Dear Jim, I'm not sure if this email still works for you. It does. And by the way, this is from Philip Kerp. I'm going to try. Hopefully I get this name right. Kerpiel. I'm not sure if this email still works for you. I remember a while back you were asking for listeners to submit ideas for a logo for the old Blue Shirt Banner radio program. Then when you moved to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the attached logo came to my head. I had been holding on to it since you guys already seemed to have a pretty good logo with the train. Anyway, when I heard you go on a rant during tonight's show saying that the Rangers should bury the number 6 jersey, I had to send you the logo I put together because it features a buried Wade Redden jersey. Maybe you could use it as an alternate logo or something. Thank you for all the work you and Eddie do with Blue Shirt Underground Radio. It is excellent. All the interviews, draft, trade, and signing coverage you guys provide is 10 times better than anything commercial sports stations put out. All the best, Philip, in Omaha, Nebraska. If you're watching my video, I'll put this logo up here so you can see it, and then I will post it to the Facebook group. There it is. Oh, there it is. You can see that pretty well there. Got the skyline of New York. You can see the buried Redden jersey there. That's supposed to be underground.
Where is the Redden jersey? Oh, there it is. I see right there. Okay.
See it over to the left there?
I'll post this in the Facebook group. And maybe this will go on the Blue Shirt Underground Radio Winter Classic jersey.
Yes.
So, thank you, Philip. We're glad you're listening. Glad you're enjoying the show. And call in sometime. And if you want to call in, I guess it's about time I give out the number. We've only been on the air for, what, an hour and 45 minutes? 646-478-4692. But you know what? You're hosting tonight. It's your job to give out the number.
It's my fault. It's actually my fault. And I
head
I,
hit.
Any head I totally, hit. I blew it.
It's okay. There's a lot of nights where I don't give out the number, and I just forget about it.
Yeah. So, so what else we got, Robin, in the news? Let's see. Mandar, anything else irking you?
Well, don't forget, now tomorrow is Roman Horak's turn to burn us because we traded him away.
Well, he had a superb camp with the Calgary Flames, and he made the team.
How many guys make that?
Yeah, well, it doesn't happen with the Rangers.
Oh.
You can't have a superb camp and make the Rangers if you're in the AHL. Not that he was in the AHL. It's a bad example. But you can have the whole accountability and the whole based on merit thing with John Tortorella is a complete sham. Or Ryan Bourque would be on this team and not Erik Christensen. Or, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Defensemen seem to make it a lot easier than forwards do, don't they?
Right, because they're defensive. That's all he wants. He wants to. Everybody's got to be defensively responsible. So it's easy to teach a guy one facet, defense, rather than make him. That's why we have no offensive defensemen.
Well, same thing. I mean, I like the third line, but the third line reeks of desperation. Also, I love Fedotenko and the way he plays, but to be honest with you, he's not the kind of a player that should be on the Rangers. That should be a Bourque or a Christian Thomas or somebody like that.
I don't know at this point. I think Feds is a good soldier, man. He comes to play.
Oh, I do too. I like him a lot. But again, if you're trying to bring along these guys.
And we're the fourth youngest team. If you take away the goalies, we're the second youngest. I mean, I think we're young enough where we can have a Fedotenko in there. But you are right. Sometimes, and this may be sacrilege, I'm saying it, but sometimes I think I'm not going to say it. I'll save it for next show to do sacrilege. Next week, sacrilege. But there's
next week
like
on the show, sacrilege. Eddie will step on the logo in the locker room.
Well, it relates to Brandon Prust. I mean, does Brandon Prust deserve more ice time than like a Ryan Bourque, if we had him? I mean, it's that whole thing. I mean, I love Brandon Prust, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking because of the sake of talking. I'm getting into Joe Micheletti thing.
But
maybe
no,
I'll talk about
the Brandon Prust last year, they found the perfect role for him. They shouldn't ask anything more of the guy or less. Ask him to do exactly what he did. He turned into a dependable role player that played his role perfectly. Now, don't ask him now. Now, just because he had a successful year doing what they wanted him to do, don't all of a sudden now think that the guy should be put on a scoring line. Don't think that this guy should be playing the power play. Don't hold him to a different standard. You had him there last year where he was for a reason. He turned out to be one of the best penalty killers in the league. He's a hard worker, a scrapper. Don't take him out of his role. That's what he did great. But then you make a statement for one bad penalty, and you go blind to everybody else. But don't worry. Everybody will do push-ups in practice because that's what happens in a John Tortorella practice.
You heard
about that, right? You heard that they were doing drills, and when a forward took a penalty, everybody had to drop and give 10. That's our Tortorella. He knows how to discipline.
That's my problem with this guy. He's got to be Mr. Disciplinarian. He's got to be the drill sergeant. He's got to be, this has been a, I'm going to say this word, developmental league. This is the NHL. You're not going to teach players. Obviously, it didn't work. They came back the next game, and they like you said, there was a parade to the freaking this is just – he's got to be the teacher. He's got to be the tough love guy. and it's stupid. It's stupid.
Because you know what happens, too? It backfires in the part where now they're almost at times, I would think, to be tentative about doing something because they're afraid it may result in a penalty or may result in the wrath of the coach. So then a player or two or three may change their game around or make a mistake from being too cautious or something like that in fear of the wrath of this guy who doesn't have any answers.
But you make a good point because when I talked to great Ulf Nielsen, he said that you cannot coach through fear because players make mistakes and you have to coach, almost like a kind mentor. I mean, you have to get tough with certain guys. I think the only reason now, I think I've come to an epiphany. I think the only reason he keeps Eric Christensen around, Eric Christensen's like that girl that's like, she's ditzy, she's a pain in the ass, but she'll do anything you say. So
she's the fallback girl.
She's the fallback girl, and like everything that he's. Eric will do anything to please Torts, whatever it is, even if he fails at it, which he does nightly. But Torts won't send him down because he just likes the fact that he'll do anything to please him. And that's what he wants everybody to do. And he's got to somehow become a good coach on the ice and let these players breathe. He's got such a tight rein on them. And it shows in the play. The Rangers play so many close games, and I wasn't aware of this push-up thing, and to me, it's completely it's a joke. This is the National Hockey League. And then the next game, they go out and they take 9 penalties. So what did it prove?
He's a disciplinarian guy, but there's a difference between a guy like him and a guy like Keenan, who was a disciplinarian guy, but at the same time, and he was a total douchebag too, Keenan, but he challenged the players rather than kind of putting them down. He disciplined Kovalev. He disciplined Leach in the Stanley Cup semifinals. I mean, this is a guy that, he challenged them to be better players. His methods, weren't anything that any one of us would want to go through. God knows how much he berated Leach, telling him he was no Chelios, but he got him motivated in that way. Tortorella is more tough guy talk, and then he'll do it through the press. Never really saw it.
And I just want to add this. When is he accountable? It's everybody's fault except his. Always. And also, in this day and age, does that really work? Is Lindy Ruff doing that up in Buffalo? Some of these teams that are surprised early. Is this what the coaches do? Is this what the guy, Blimpies over there in Pittsburgh, is this what he does to motivate his team? He's making him do push-ups after bad. This is ridiculous. I mean, what does he think? He's Vince Lombardi out there?
That's a joke. He's all bluster, and there's nothing behind it. And I don't necessarily think there's a lot of respect for him on the Rangers team coaching-wise. Now, don't get me wrong. Messier was a big Keenan supporter, so, of course, that helped Keenan be able to do the discipline he did because if Messier bought into it and everybody looked up to Messier, then it was going to be easier. But the Rangers don't – I mean, while Callahan is a captain that does the leadership on the ice and probably to some extent in the locker room, although we don't have any idea of knowing that, he's not going to be the same kind of leader that Messier was. Nobody will be. And that combination with Keenan's discipline really drove that team to the heights they reached. I don't see Tortorella getting that kind of, respect back from the team because they're just, all right, I got it. I hook somebody in practice. I put my stick on his gloves. All right, everybody give me 10. Great. All right, now, next drill. Everybody, blue line rush. You held a stick. All right, everybody give me 10. I mean, come on.
It's certainly when the Rangers are not winning, it gets ugly real fast, and we always turn to Tortorella, and I think he has his faults. He definitely has his faults. but hopefully the Rangers will be and he has his pluses. Well, Mandar and the great Jim Schmiedeberg, my co-host for tonight's broadcast, and always, we've come to the end of our broadcasting night. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight, all your phone calls. Jim, any parting words you'd like to say to the Blue Shirt Underground?
Yes, I would, as a matter of fact. As I mentioned last week, tomorrow is our two-year anniversary of Eddie and I doing this show together. My friend, it has been an extreme pleasure. Here's to at least another two more. Depends on those donations on BlueShirtUnderground.com.
That's right.
But seriously, it's a blast for me to come to this show with you every week. I've said this 100 times. I'll say it again. I do the show if nobody was listening. We ran out of time.
That's right.
All right.
We ran out of time. But, Mandar, thanks for calling in. You always make the last half hour a brawl and stretch it out. Because the last 20 minutes I was reaching. Okay, brother. Jim,
that's why
take
I'm
care.
Here.
And thanks for the technological help.
Anytime. All right. Talk to you guys later.